Every year in this country, nearly 16,000 people under the age of 19 are diagnosed with cancer. And for their parents, day-to-day concerns like homework and eating vegetables take a backseat to survival. The good news is that pediatric cancer survival rates are on the rise. More than 80% of kids now survive for 5 years or more. Many live a full, normal life. So with that increased survival rate comes a whole new set of concerns for parents and doctors, and one of them, how to preserve fertility. It sounds crazy to think about a 6-week-old or a 7-year-old having children, but hopefully that infant will eventually be a healthy 30-year-old who wants to. And now there's an emerging field called oncofertility, preserving pediatric cancer patients' ability to reproduce years, even decades into the future, maybe with technology not invented yet. Joining us from the studios of WHYY in Philadelphia, we have Danielle Morley. She's the creator of the Oncofertility Program and cancer care coordinator at Nemours Center for Cancer and Blood Disorders in Delaware. Danielle, welcome.
Thank you.
And along with you, Erica Avello, mother of Frankie Knowles. He is participating in this program at the age of 7. Erica, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Danielle, start with a basic question. Many know, but maybe need to be reminded. Why is it that cancer treatments threaten fertility?
So a lot of cancer treatment involves things like chemotherapy or radiation or sometimes surgery, which couldn't put a risk to the future fertility of that patient. Certain drugs can actually affect the ability to create viable sperm in the future, in the case of males, and can mess with the ability for the ovary to release eggs in the future. So making patients potentially infertile down the line, as well as it can also alter hormone production, decreasing their chance of being able to have kids in the future.
Right. And so we've heard stories of young adults preserving eggs and sperm to be able to do this later in life after their cancer treatments. But now we're talking about doing this with, you know, maybe even newborns and young people as young as 7, as Frankie. Oncofertility, tell us about the program you've started at your hospital.
Yeah, so with myself and two of our physicians, both pediatric and adolescent gynecologists, we created our fertility preservation program at Nemours. So there are new studies that are still in the world of research that allow for either prepubescent patients or patients who don't have a lot of time prior to starting treatment to pursue options that can potentially preserve their fertility in the future.
Okay, but we think of, you know, things like eggs. We think that that doesn't come in a woman until, you know, after puberty or something. What are you preserving start with in, let's say, a young girl?
Yeah, so what they are actually preserving are they would take out an ovary and freeze it. And one of the things that has proven viable births in the future is re-implanting that tissue into a patient later down the road when they're ready to start to try to have children.
Wow. And a lot of this is banking on the science having progressed in 10, 20, 30 years.
Absolutely. So the research for ovarian tissue cryopreservation is further ahead than for testicular tissue cryopreservation. For ovarian, there have been live births through the process of reimplantation.
Talk about, you know, young boys. What are they preserving?
So with boys, the science isn't quite as far ahead as it is with females, but it's the same concept of removing a resection of a testicle, cryopreserving it, and then in theory reimplanting it in the future. They're also looking at ways to be able to mature that tissue outside of the body and then reimplant the sperm into a female in the future. So that's still in the research level, but when we offer these things to patients, they're often very young, and the hope is that the research will continue to progress and be an option for them in the future.
And we understand this has worked, have I got this right, in, you know, mice or animal experiments?
Yes, and we actually just got a research article from the NIH that says that they have been able to have a viable birth produced in a monkey.
Oh, okay. So Erica Avello again, the mother of Frankie Knowles, 7-year-old who is combating cancer. What kind of cancer?
So he has a pyelomyxoid astrocytoma, which is in his brain.
Yeah. And so you're getting treatment for that. I understand he has a T-shirt that says something like, cancer picked the wrong kid.
Yes.
And it sounds like it from the things that we've heard. You know, take us through this procedure. You're thinking about all these other things. First and foremost, get this cancer out of your kid. And you're approached by people, you know, explaining to you that you might want to consider this. How did that hit you?
I was actually thrilled with the idea because to me that meant that they saw him as an adult someday. And, you know, we were really unsure about his the course of his tumor and what his outcomes might be. But when Danielle approached me, she said, you know, someday he might want to be a dad. And that just brought me a lot of hope.
Yeah. You know, obviously you wanted to talk to Frankie about it. And I mean, he's seven and he calls his testicles his tickles.
That was last year.
And so, how did you approach this with him?
So we just kind of said, we're going to go to this hospital and they're going to do a little surgery and take out a piece of your testicle because it's going to help you someday be a daddy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then he got back to his Legos or whatever and said, fine. Were you ever concerned about it? Let me ask you, Danielle, is there a downside?
There's pros and cons to everything. It's not the right option for every patient. Sometimes it's not a safe time to do an additional surgery. But for Frankie, he had the opportunity to delay chemo for a couple days to make this possible. And he was stable and able to travel to the other institution that was able to do this for him.
Yeah. And what about the cost? Who pays for it?
So we actually participated in a research study. They offered us the opportunity to participate where we would donate a portion of the tissue that was collected back to research. So we have a portion of his testicle frozen, and then a portion was given to the researchers who are studying, you know, how to preserve fertility so that someday he can use the portion that was frozen.
Right. And if you'd had to pay out of pocket, I understand it would be about $20,000. That's so expensive for families who aren't in these trials. I understand you spend about $200-$300 a year for the storage of the tissue. Does that, even knowing it's there, I mean, it's a part of your son.
Again, I just think it gives me hope that someday, you know, he'll be a young man that's ready to choose a partner and that he has this opportunity. If he wants to be a dad and if he wants to be a biological father, that he might have the opportunity to do this.
And Erica, are there any ethical questions?
I mean, not for me. I would hope that it's not, you know, that the tissue isn't used in any way that, you know, it's not intended. My other thought is that I really wanted him to have the opportunity to decide for himself and not have cancer make that decision for him.
Danielle, how many families have done this?
Our program sees probably 30 to 40 patients a year, and some have options and some don't. But we've had children who have been able to egg bank. We have several children a year who sperm bank. Not as many are able to do the testicular tissue cryopreservation, honestly, because of the addition of travel right now to have that procedure done.
Right. And do you foresee a time when it is covered by insurance?
Yeah, so there's a lot of push to have insurance start to cover some of these things. We actually just recently advocated for a bill that was passed in Delaware this past summer, Senate Bill 139, which now requires state-mandated insurance coverage for infertility and fertility preservation options. It doesn't mandate that every single insurance provider covers it, but I think there's a good precedence has started and hopefully things will start to trend in that direction.
You recommend that people call their insurance companies, and should they also ask their hospitals? I mean, how many other people have this program?
Not many. We are looking to open it at Nemours to be able to offer this procedure at our hospital so that our patients don't have to travel.
Erica, that's another sort of a glimmer of something hopeful. You were in the right place at the right time with the wrong thing, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. And with the opportunity, you know, to delay treatment just by a couple days, maybe just a week. And to have the resources to travel. We did travel. We drove about 4 to 5 hours away.
But it's an investment in a future.
Yeah.
That's Erica Avello. Her 7-year-old son, Frankie, has undergone testicular cryopreservation. And Danielle Morley founded the Pediatric Oncofertility Preservation Center at Nemours Center for Cancer and Blood Disorders in Delaware. Danielle, Erica, thank you both, and best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.